Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Shutterbutton Poetry, brought to you by A Team of Voices. A Team of Voices is a group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And I would like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for keeping us set up and running and giving us a place to share our poetry. A Team of Voices is owned by Deborah Lee. The group is free to join. And you can follow along to our many topics every day of the week. There are different themes, different hosts, spanning from poetry games, slams, talk shows, magic tricks, and of course, storyboards and much more. A Team of Voices blog talk is sponsored by AP Taylor. Thank you, AP Taylor, very much for that. I am your host, Sky, and tonight, this is a pretty easy night for me. It's just Shutterbutton Poetry. Over the last few years, I've opened up a lot of contests with pictures that I've taken, or my mom has taken, actually. And people, there's really no rules to this one. I just let people just do what they will. So I thought I'd feature some of that here tonight. Of course, we are celebrating only the Oktoberfest series within those contests. And they're all October-themed photos. They are uploaded into the link for the blog talk cast, so you can actually see the photos that were used in the contest and what they wrote for right there. So there you go. I already have a caller, of course, my unofficial right-hand man. Hi, Rackensor.
Hello.
Hi, I just couldn't get it together there. I gotta start doing my pre-recordings again. I'm like all over the place. I'm like Shutterbutton, storyboards down the tubes. I don't know what's happening. How are you tonight?
Relax. I'm good and relax. You're human. It's lovely.
Well,
I don't like
I know.
Talking
I'm
to
like,
robots right now, but I'd rather listen to you. I don't need a robot.
Well, my recording isn't a robot. It's just pre-recorded. I got so spoiled for years doing that. So we opened up with Moonlight Sonata, Beethoven's 14th symphony, of course, and I just love it. And in the original form, yeah, I know, it was called Sonata Almost a Fantasy. And the name kind of evolved through another artist and kind of stuck that way. But originally, it was not called that, which is interesting because I don't know. I think it's kind of fantasyful, but I don't know. I think it's more gloomy than fantasy. But he wrote it in his early 30s, which I thought was really, interesting. But it's one of my favorite ones. And this one, I don't know, it was a little haunting, and I thought it fit perfectly for October. So I hope you guys enjoyed it.
There's another classical piece called The Summer's Place. I don't know who does it, but it sounds very similar to me anyway. To the untrained
ear. A Summer's Eclipse?
Place.
I'm sorry?
A summer place. A Summer Place.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to look that up. And is that classical?
It's a classical piece, yeah. I don't know who does it, but it's hauntingly familiar, and it's similar to that.
I'm going to go look it up after the show, though, so we're not sitting here. Me trying to find music. I see it, though. I see it. I want to have to listen to it.
It was a movie score, actually.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that there were lots of things that came up. Do you think it was, inspired, the Imperial March? John Williams was so inspired by the planets.
Well, I don't know. To paraphrase Salieri, too many notes. It's like you can't. There's nothing new under the sun. I think is the other thought that comes. You're bound to overlap, and sometimes you know the melodies and the tunes and the things that there's a feeling that you know. I imagine that when you compose a piece, you're trying to conjure, and you know when you're in that mood. You know, is likely someone else has got the same mood and they're going to have similar, like, thoughts. You know, I hear, you know, the instruments speak sometimes. And, you know, if someone's trying to generate that tone or that feeling, you know, they're going to want to do the same thing, I think.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness to John Williams, George Lucas set specifically, I would like it to sound similar to Gustav Holst's Planet. So he was contracted to do something similar, and because he didn't change, like he kept some things that were exactly the same, the notes, the music. I think that he was paying homage on purpose. But it's just kind of cool that I think it was written in like. The early 1910 or 1920, in between those two decades, that's when Star Wars was, you know, theme song was written.
Okay.
Not really Star Wars, but what inspired John Williams. So it's fun to think about. Yeah. So tonight we have some poetry and no clips, which is so different, right? I mean, I do have one clip, and it's because it's a SoundCloud. But other than that,
you could clip your hair.
I could, yeah. I could not. All right, our first one I'm going to jump to is Jenny in the Deep, and this photo was taken, I've got my godson here in a mask and some sunglasses and a hat, so you really can't see him, which is the way I like it, but I thought it was such a creepy photo, so I did it for one of my contests way back, I don't even know, a couple years ago, and Jenny in the Deep wrote for that one, so it goes like this, Wendigo Hunter. By Jenny the Deep. Stalking like vampires, lurking in the shadows, she scavenges for warm humans, drinking sweet blood of immortality, zealously hunting forever, always in the shadows like vampires, stalking, hunger rising within, ferociously slaying, she's spiraling out of control. Her cannibalistic appetite grows, insatiable cravings increased. She devours humans to satisfy her hunger. End poem. And I thought this was so cool. So in the photo, he is in a cornfield, and you really can't tell if it's a boy or girl because, you know, he's so covered up. So this is one thing I love about these photo contests is that a person sees it, and they take it how it is, and they interpret it. And I have the same photo go up, and eight different people will see eight different things and focus on eight different aspects about it or take it somewhere different. So she went to the Wendigo, which is an awesome folklore story, so it was fun to see that. I like how she brought in, the kind of – she opens up with stalking. And she closes the first stanza with stalking. And I'm not sure if this is a form. It seems like a form. But she doesn't have a form here. But the way that she wrote it, it's diamond-shaped. And so it was very, very well put together. And then, of course, she has the ominous, type of like howling in the background, stalking, and she brings in the vampire and the cannibalistic appetite, which I really, really liked because I was getting a little like a Hannibal Lecter vibe here, and then the insatiable cravings increased. And even though the reader never really knows what happens the foreboding that's kind of building up is enough, because you're kind of right there shivering in your boots, and it lets your imagine leap to where is this coming from, where are they lurking, because it just says shadows, it doesn't say quite where, so you're kind of left to check all the corners every time you enter a room at night or on the street or getting in your car in the dark, which is always terrible. So I really like that about it. Really well done. Thank you. And Raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah, I like when you play. I consider it white space, when you play with the white spaces and let people fill things in themselves. And it's funny that you know, he was in a cornfield and she said stalking and cornstalk, ha, 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 ha. You know, things like that tend to amuse me. I like language. You know, there's an overlap to it, and it's relatable to what she's talking about and what the picture is. So, you know, there's that. She tied the two together nicely. An animal, a creature, the legend of the Wendigo, I think that's the Canadian version of the Bigfoot. It's running around and eating humans.
Spooky.
Awesome. You know, I don't know if it was done on purpose, but I didn't even make that connection with the corn stalk and the stalking. You're so witty with words. I didn't quite get that one. That one's good. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Jenny. And, I think it's a good time to plug shows, Raconteur. Do you want to... I mean, I know we're... Well, we're not going to... I don't think I'm going to plug all shows right now, but do you want to plug your next show?
No. it's going to be a monster bash.
So funny.
anything you know, monster related sounds cool to me, and anything that gives you goosebumps, makes you think. Have fun with it. It's October. It's Halloween. It's be creative. It should be fun.
Do you want to say where and when?
On Team of Voices, it's Halloween. Ring your bell, I'll give you a piece of candy.
On Halloween. It's a perfect time to talk about monsters. And then, of course, the only one I'm going to plug right now is mine for now. And that is tomorrow, actually. We are doing, on Storyboards, we are celebrating the second installment of Storyboards D&D Style Halloween Special Edition. And everyone was given a different character sheet, or signed up, rather, for a, everyone got a different one. And they are creatures, and I'm actually pretty excited to see what people did with it. So they are creatures like the Ooze Hound, JCA took, of course. I need to put that as reserved. The Blood-Starved Beast, the Crow Mauler, the Bog Unicorn. I'm excited for that one, Wayne. And they just had to put a couple things in that, you know, the character sheet listed. But other than that, they had total creative. They can do whatever they want, really. So as long as they just added a little bit about the character sheet and have fun with it. So that'll be tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I am looking forward to see your guys' interpretation of those haunting, scary-like creatures with the D&D sheet. So it's going to be fun.
Roll for initiative.
I know Stephen wrote his already, and somehow Stephen, I don't know how he does it, but I haven't read it yet, so I don't know, but he intertwined the Corpse Eater in with Argo's story, so he's on his 15th chapter of writing these flash fiction story type poems, or pieces. They're really chapters. I wouldn't necessarily call it a poem. It's more like chapter installments. And he's on chapter 15, and somehow he included the Corpse Eater in a pre-existing story that he's writing for his Argo character. So that should be really fun.
Well, sure. He just sticks Argo out on a campaign. And sticks Argo out on a campaign he has an encounter.
I know. There you go. There you go. That should be really fun. He sent in a SoundCloud, so we get to hear him read in his own voice. So that's always exciting. All right. So we do have some more shows to plug, but I'm going to kind of separate them tonight a little bit so the listeners are not overwhelmed. And we're going to go on to our next poem, which is actually I have... So I have one more from Jenny the Deep, and it's a pullover because she dropped last week during storyboards, but we were too – I didn't even drop this poem, but we were closing up by the time she dropped, so I wanted to make sure that we dropped it here. So I told her that I would pull it over, and that's what I'm doing. So here we go. This is also by Jenny the Deep, but it's not for one of the photos because it is a pullover from last week. So, and I think we did the Haunting of Bly Manor. So here we go. Petite Mean Zombie Queen of Your Nightmares by Jenny the Deep. Standing at 5'3", so to speak, I reign supreme of the zombies. Petitely voluptuous and their queen inhaler, getting the best sacrificing, the worst of the worst. Hellions count ogres and trolls and fed sheep, dreaming of flying vampires while they sleep. With death touch insanity, I waste the so-called indestructible. In your nightmares, my enchantment is irrefutable. Not a god nor a demon, but a tormented, cursed human, hidden in mountainous, damaged minds, brain-eating insects like me devour lifelines. End poem. And I have to say, like, the first thing that really pops out at me was the Hellions count ogres and trolls instead of sheep. Like, if you were, like, that's pretty creative. When you start thinking about what are Hellions going to count? What are these creatures of the night going, they're not going to count sheep. You know, they're going to count ogres and trolls, of course. And I thought that was really creative and something very unique and interesting how she put that in there. I also liked with death touch insanity, I waste the so-called indestructible. I also liked that part. And not a god nor a demon, but a tormented, cursed human. You know, kind of bringing it down to everyday people instead of saying, okay, well, I'm going to go eccentric into the dark fantasy, but I'm not going to go, I'm just going to have the common man kind of trying to live their life and having them have a damaged mind. So I really liked that turn. And the idea of the zombie queen of your nightmares. I don't know if I would want that stalking around my head at night. I think I will pass. But very well done. Thank you, Jenny the Deep. And Rack and Tour, what do you think?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is 5'3 isn't that small. But, you know, the whole idea of it, the tortured mind bit, I really enjoy that kind of path. When you go down that road, you know, anything is possible. You're open to all kinds of interpretations and your mind goes to all kinds of dark places and whatnot. You know, instead of counting sheep, you're counting, what did she have? And you know, that's cute and fun. You know, I probably would have said something like babies, you know, but anyway, I liked it. I liked
that,
it, Jenny.
I'm glad she wasn't counting babies. That would have gone a little too far, too soon.
No, to me, that's what kind of highlights the creative differences, too. If I wrote it, it would be a different poem, obviously, because that's the way my mind goes. So it's beautiful that she latches onto that thought and goes in the direction that she does, and it's cohesive, and it stays together in a way that just makes sense and flows. You know, she's got a more organized mind, and she's more, you know, well, this is the way it should be. And I think that's what makes poetry and commenting, you know, what it is. You know, we've all got to, well, this is the way it's supposed to be, you know, and some of us are so dead set on, well, you can't deviate like that, you know. It's like, well, Han shot first, and if you deviate from that then it nope, wrong, you know. And then there's other people that are like, but listen to the story, and you know, and some people are like, well, you know, to appreciate it for what it was, you have to accept the fact. Yeah, it's enjoy it. Just take it for what it's worth, take it for what it's offered, and have fun with it. And she did. And I did. Thank you, Jenny.
Awesome. I love how you snuck in Han shot first, because I have such – we're doing Lego Star Wars in December, and there's a part that they just really play that up, and it's really funny. Yes, Jenny, thank you, Jenny Fatigue, for the two poems. I appreciate it. Next we have – Pond with No Name by Gerald Green. And this one was actually a recent one from this year, only a couple weeks ago. And it's actually a picture by my mom. It is the one, if you're looking through the filtering of pictures on the Blog Talk link, it is the one with the cattail reeds. So it has like a blue sky with some white clouds. And then it has the dark green trees, and then the green grass. And then you can see autumn just settling in to the side with the lake and the fog. Just a touch of fog right on the right-hand corner. It's really nice, and it's a beautiful picture. So, so that's what it kind of looks like. And Gerald put in a SoundCloud, which I am so appreciative, because I love listening to people read their poetry in their own voice. So here we go.
Pond with No Name, written and read by Gerald Green. My pulse pauses and jerks with strain when I look at this picture of the pond with no name, separating the 7th and 8th fairways of the Golden Hills Country Club. The deceptive pastoral scene fails to prepare the novice and expert alike, with its seemingly flat surfaces that slope ever gently toward the water's edge. This is the place where dreams are shattered, where calm is destroyed and lives changed. Twice each year, the pond is dredged, recovering hundreds of golf balls and dozens of drivers, irons, and wedges, discarded in anger and frustration. Make no mistake, this is a place of horror, where tempers wait to challenge the unsuspecting, a place where precision battles force. The sound of cleated shoes on pavement next to the starter's wooden shed builds a false sense of confidence, seemingly making equal what is inferior, giving hope to the unprepared. It matters not which is at fault, if force overwhelms precision or precision prevents force, the outcome remains the same. I avert my eyes from her picture that everyone admires, hoping to forget the pond with no name, at that place where curses still thrive and arteries strain under the pressure of stress. End poem.
Awesome. And congratulations on the well-deserved gold in this contest, Gerald, because I really enjoy when somebody takes me by surprise. And he really made this like a horror story. Like, even at one point, he's like, I revert my eyes to try to save myself from the horror of this. And the whole thing, first of all, the pun was no name. I liked that he put no name, like it's just completely void of any identity. But here we are. I can see those angry people swinging their clubs in anger and the golf balls going astray into the water until you dredge it up, and there they all are, like a bunch of corpses. And so I just really enjoyed his perspective. I'm not a golf player, so even though this wasn't like something that I do or a hobby that I have, I mean, I've played mini golf, so I understand about the balls going in the water there, but they like to pop out or, and, you know, it's much easier than them going into a lake. But, you know, I just, you know, the deceptive pastoral scene fails to prepare the novice and expert alike with its seemingly flat surfaces. And I like that because it's almost like this is unsuspecting. It is lurking and is ready to, you know, that slope ever gently toward the water's edge. It's almost like the lake is alive and wanting to claim golf balls. I just thought it was so creative. No, that's one thing. Gerald always takes a prompt, and he goes somewhere completely different and new and unique, and I always appreciate that because it kind of makes the photo seen in a new light, in a new way. Like, I wouldn't have connected it to golf because I don't golf. So the fact that he did and the fact that I can see it now in that perspective, I just absolutely love. Really, really brilliant. Thank you so much, Gerald. And Rackentor, I heard you giggling, so I know you liked it. What did you think?
I thought it was beautifully relatable, Gerald. You went to a place that is so familiar, even if you don't play, like you said. You don't have to play to understand the frustration of, you know, that shot that almost was, the way the ball hangs on the edge or you know, the fairway, you know, it was right there and then it rolled the wrong way. And, you know, there's the suspense of watching it hit and land and is it going to stop or did he put, you know, backspin on the ball? It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. There is, I imagine, to the golfers, because I don't play either, but I imagine the horror of, you know, I hate this hole, I hate this hole, I hate this hole, you know, the frustration of someone, you know, logically, I don't know how, the golf clubs are expensive. And I can see someone, you know, I have a friend, I'm sure, that there's a few of his clubs in some of those lakes. Because the ball hits, the ball drops, and then it's like, you know, five seconds away from going, and then all of a sudden gravity takes over, and it starts rolling the wrong way, and then there goes the club. Yeah, I could totally see it. You know, some people do the courtesy of, I guess, well, I wouldn't call it a courtesy. They snap the club before they throw it in, and some people just, you know, chuck the club like in exasperation. I could totally see that. So I'm not even sure that Gerald plays or not, because it's very, very easy to put yourself in that situation and feel that frustration even if you haven't experienced it. You know, the telling of it, you're experiencing it in a way that transports you, and he definitely did that. He absolutely did that, and to make it the lake, you know, the expression, you know, the water hazard. It's familiar to people that don't play golf, so I could see that being a nightmare, and I'm sure it's called a nightmare to some golfers too. You know, it's like, oh my God, that hole, you know, when they come to it. So yeah. And when you lose the ball, you lose a stroke, you know, that kind of thing too. So it's a nightmare to your score as well. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you so much, Rick. Excellent comment. And thank you, Gerald, for the wonderful poem and entering it in. Oh. Okay, Rack, we are going to moving along here. So the next one is Heavenly Angel, and it's actually a collaboration with Easy Rider, and I love when they team up. They're so great together. She just sent me another one that they did together in a private message. I haven't read anything. I haven't done too much. I'm still having a little bit of trouble typing, so I will make comments on ones that I haven't already, which is only a few. I think it's just Jenny the Deep, actually, and I will check out that link and make my comment soon, but I'm rendered to speech to text at the moment, so my comments are getting out a little bit slow. So this is Tonight and Always, collaboration with Easy Rider by Heavenly Angel. Sometimes at night, when you're asleep next to me, I can make out the silhouette of your handsome face. I look at you lying there and smile joyfully. And I think, darling, no one could ever take your place. Then I whisper ever so softly in your ear, I love you so. And I wonder where your dreams are taking you. Do you still dream of me now and then? I'd like to know. Deep inside of my heart tells me you still dream of me too. Sweetheart, you are right about all of this. Our journey of love has never been so fine. I knew we were made for one another that very first kiss. Heaven bless the day you said you'd be mine. These little things we share to me mean a lot more, my sweet. Not something, but all the time, you make my heart sing. Not sometimes, but all the time, you make my heart sing. Being together with you has made my life complete. Darling, you'll never know all the joy that you bring. End poem. And I thought this was wonderfully romantic. Her and Easy, they do a lot of collabs together. And I actually can't tell who wrote what. I may be Darlin. Darlin is probably Easy Rider. The Darlin, the addition of the Darlin. I think maybe, but it's really hard to say. But I just really enjoyed this. There was a sentimentality of it. So when I first read it, I think I was expecting a duet because the way that it was written, I was expecting like a different voice to come into play. And even though it's not distinctive, it's still because I know it's a collaboration, there still has that duet feel, but it doesn't really shift ever with the speaker as if they're both speaking and they're both kind of coming from that same place and they're both genuine about their emotion, the speakers, not the authors. And I think there's a beauty in that. And this was written to, if you're looking at the photos, it's a very dark backdrop. It's with one of my mom's. It's a very dark backdrop. You see, it's mostly black and white. I mean, it's all black and white, actually. You see the trees reaching out and the moon right behind. And even the sky is very dark and gray. But just a shade lighter than the trees that are overcoming the moon. And it makes me think of the poem as well, or it makes me, the poem reflects that kind of like through these dark trees, there is that beautiful light and that beautiful lantern that hangs in the sky. And it kind of reflects in this, heaven bless the day you said you'd be mine. The little things we share to me mean a lot, my sweet. And it reminds me of all those little tiny things that, I don't know, that you kind of like appreciate about a person. Those grand gestures are wonderful and they're said to be something in them of themselves, but I always felt like it was those little tiny things that people do for you that almost can be, you know, taken advantage of sometimes and say, oh, well, they always do that. We'll stop and think, you know, do they have to? No, they don't. They stop and they do those things. So really beautifully done. Congratulations on your silver. I have so many, you know, one thing that I always gripe about, and Racketeer has to listen to me, is when I'm judging these contests. I hate judging, but I love doing them. But I hate judging because I have to pick a top three, and even though I think they're all worth, you know, they're worth more than, I mean, that's why I don't do honorable mentions, so people can re-enter in different contests and resubmit, because they're all worth the top three spot, and unfortunately I can only pick three. It's so hard, I really hate it, but I love what comes of it. Raconteur, what do you think?
I love pieces like this because, you know, poetry, writing in general, unless it's declared or stated, you don't know if it's fact or fiction. You don't know if it's fantasy or exaggeration. So you can imagine you want this to be true, and you almost take it for granted when you start reading it, like, you know, oh, this really happened, because there's the honesty of emotion, like you said, in it. There's the obviousness of the feelings that the two people have of a relationship, and even that could be, you know, again, a fantasy. I don't know. Maybe they never even met. You can't be sure. But you know, it feels like it is, and it's easy to believe that it is, and I think that's what makes it so beautiful, because it's almost like a promise. It's like, you know, okay, maybe even if they didn't, you know, that they're saying, well, if I did, that this is how it would be. Or, you know, maybe it was an actual, you know, night together, and then that's where their thoughts took them. And again, it's poetically beautiful. You know, some people are able to compose their thoughts and speak in that fashion. And it sounds like, you know, sometimes you say something and someone will be like, oh, that's poetic, or that sounds like poetry. And some people laugh at that, and some people are like, well, that's just how I speak. And it feels natural. And you know, that's what makes this beautiful to me, is that it feels right. It feels natural. You know, I saw your beautiful face, and you know, I'm appreciative for the day that we met, and you said you would be mine, and that all those thoughts wrapped up in that, you know, add to the beauty of it, and the backdrop and the honesty of the emotion to me. I just really enjoy something like a piece like that.
Excellent comment. You know, I think you hit on a really great point. And I've written romantic pieces, like collaborated romantic pieces and breakup pieces with people that it was not about a romantic, it's not that we were in a romantic relationship. It was just when you have two poets and you're both able to kind of build off of one another and touch into those creative wells, and be on the same page, and even take two different relation, like take, you know, one experience and one relationship and bring it into the piece from your perspective, and then the other person is taking perhaps their perspective in a specific relationship that's completely different, obviously, and kind of combine those together. It's because they're similar emotions. And so, yeah, I think that a person can't say, oh, well, this is true happening with the poets. But the thing is that it is true, because somewhere in the universe, this is true. Somebody is feeling this emotion. And I think, yeah, and perhaps even the reader thinking about it, they're like, oh, I'm experiencing this, or have experienced this type of emotion before in my life. And I think that's what connected. And I think that's, you were right on the money there with that perspective, saying, you know, it's not at that point, it kind of isn't about the writers. It's about what's written. And I think when two writers can do that, and create from perspectives and collaborate like that, I think that there's a beauty in that. There's not too many people that I've collaborated with, but I know that there are some that are, it's just natural. It's just natural for me to say, okay, hey, let's do something, and you just line for line or word for word, you might go in different directions.
To me, it's kind of like going to a movie. And you know, you have to accept the concept that they're in love, and once you accept that as fact, the rest is just beautiful. And that's what they're reinforcing with their words and their imagery and their, you know, their storytelling. It's, you know, this is about two people involved, and boom, there you go.
Awesome. Yeah, it is. We just, a romantic. Everybody loves a romantic comedy. There was an in comedy in there, so I guess some people would render that what, like a chick flick. I hate saying that, chick flick. But yeah.
There were no birds.
There were no birds. There were no birds. I think Hatter just dropped a poem, so he might be calling in. I'm not sure if Wayne is calling in or not. Jenny, if you're listening, you did submit yours. I already read them, and I just delete as I go. I delete off the topic board as I go, so that I know what I've done already. So Jenny's a deep message. I've submitted mine. If you're listening, I did already read both of yours, the one from last week and this week at the start of the show. And I delete as I read them. It keeps me organized. Although sometimes I forget who I'm thinking at the end, but it's what it is. All right. I think if Wayne was going to call, I think he would have called already. So I'm going to read his. And then I think, well, hold on. Let me say hello to Hatter. Hello, Hatter.
I'm muted. Hi.
You are unmuted.
I'm
How
unmuted.
Are you?
Fine. Went to the hand doctor today, and it still works.
Oh, that makes one of us. All right.
That's huge. That's huge.
So.
I said that's huge.
It is. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. I know it is huge. Believe me.
Can you
tell me
left?
I do know. I definitely know.
Yeah. Yeah.
No more than you think I might know.
One bit of advice that I would give the world, but generations behind me is learn how to be ambidextrous. Take the time to do it, because if you mess up, you're screwed.
So, Rackenthor's laughing. Yeah, Rackenthor's laughing because Hatter, you might not. A few people know I'm having a little trouble with my right hand, and I happen to be ambidextrous, so I can write with my left hand, which has been a save for me. So that's why Rack said to preach into the choir, because I agree.
I'll really make you smile, Hatter, and Sky's gonna get mad at me. But I'm going to walk the PG-13 line about being ambidextrous. But that includes wiping your bottom.
Hey.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Yeah.
That's not a clumsy friend.
Yeah, it's rough. But I'm glad you're feeling better. I see you dropped for one of my photos, and you wrote a new one, actually.
Yeah. Yes.
And this was a recent one, too. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to a neighboring town, and they always do this wonderful scarecrow display. I don't even want to call it a display because it's like a town-wide event. That's really what it is. It's a town-wide event. All the businesses,
contest.
Homes, people. It's not really a contest, but every year they just do tons and tons of scarecrow setups. Like they had Jaws, they had Alice in Wonderland, and I haven't opened those contests yet for the Alice in Wonderland, but they just had everything you could think of. So I started sprinkling some of those photos in my Oktoberfest, and one of those were the Dr. Seuss. So if you're looking at the photo reel and the link in which you're listening to in Blog Talk, you can see there's a picture of Doctor's. There's a picture of Thing One and Thing Two, and I'm excited to see where. Huh?
That's a scary thing.
It can be. It can be. Wayne wrote to that one too, so I'll drop yours first, and then I'll drop Wayne's, and we'll go from there. You know, I noticed that in my Oktoberfest contest, my scenic ones get filled up really fast. My scenic ones get filled up all the way, and they get filled up really fast. But it's these quirky ones that they take a long time to fill, and they don't always fill all the way. But I think they're so cute and quirky and unique. But I guess some people are like, what am I going to do with this? So
well, it's
got to
be probably the easiest prompt to write to, I would think. I like song verses too, or quotes. I can see that. Pictures.
Yeah.
Widen your horizons.
The scenic ones, yeah, the scenic ones tend to fill up quickly. And I don't know, but I like these cute, quirky ones. One year, my mom did like a troll. She went on a troll adventure. She just got these little trolls, and she started putting them with pumpkins and with maple syrup. And basically, she just went to random places during October and put the little trolls in in the places, like she put him on a bridge, like he's walking, and she took these really awesome photo shots, and she called it Adventures with a Troll. And I did, last year, I think I did a lot of those sets of pictures in the Oktoberfest, and people just wrote about a little troll on an adventure, and it was really cute and unique,
That's funny you should say that. I used to make what I called elf doors. They just look like old-fashioned doors, and I'd go nail them to the bottom of the trees or a pile of rocks.
Like little fairy houses? Oh.
Yeah. And
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I put on the island of the property I took care of before I got here. There's a big island that in front of the house, and the volcano was the top of this mountain. This volcano just spewed water, and it filled one pond to another, to another, to another. Went under the driveway, then under the house, then under the house, all the way down to the lake, and then re-pumped it back up. I had to do the lighting on it. So when I was digging it all up, I made these little forts from this granite, this type of granite, finger granite, and in those little, make like a little cave, put a door on it, and then I would hide it, let some moss or something grow, and I figured someday some kid's going to find that. And I hand-stitched bags and colored little P-rocks, little round soft rocks, and painted them gold, put them in a stitched bag that I stitched, put it behind the door. I also put it a container that said, I explained what it was. This is an elf, the elf's treasure, blah, blah, blah. If you go online and to Elf Door at Facebook, go to Elf Doors and tell me that you found it, what date. And
kind of
like
geocaching.
You don't know you're looking for it, but I figured someday with Mark and Jennifer, the people that bought that property, the place is so cool. I got to do the lighting and the landscaping of it, and I just thought it would be a neat thing. So someday somebody's going to find this. There's five of them on the island, five elf girls hidden.
That's so cute. I love going through the woods. Through one year, I seen someone do that, and they created this little fairy like house, and then they had a little book and a plastic bag, and you had to sign your name. And it was just there. It was really, really cute. So, yeah. All right, Hatter, show us what you got. Seuss was a madman.
Seuss is a madman. No, he is. Okay. Try try writing like him. Just saying. If you don't slip into the mad world of Dr. Seuss, then you're lucky. It goes like this. The night I took my kids to treat, to my surprise, the ones I meet on the porch stood one and two with a cat wearing only one shoe. The hat he wore with loud red stripes, he whispered to me, "Everything's all right." It was then that I knew thing one and thing two had ruined everything inside. They sat there and stared as if they don't care. That's when the cat said they lied. Ruin is an unwelcome verb. Don't believe everything you've heard. The house was a mess. We are just guests. The dog did it, and we both saw him tear the sofa apart and shred the curtains. I knew then they were a troubling pair riding the banister to the top of the stairs. They were acting as if some patron saint. They colored the walls with polka-dotted paint. They said that they're our friends with a sucio doctor. They say they are friends with a sucio doctor. They escaped for a time from an unused locker, trying to find a thing called fun, hiding from us all while on the run. Red dog, blue dog, go dog, go. I need a line before the show. Oh,
<That's
bad. laughs>
Oh, I love it.
I tried it. I forgot that.
I interrupted your end poem. Sorry, but that last line got me. This is wonderful. I really, this is so fun. And I really liked towards the end when you started, where was it? Here we go. They were acting as if some patron saint. They colored the walls with polka dot paint. I really loved that one. And I loved how you twisted Dr. Seuss into, they said they're friends with a sucio doctor. I loved how you kind of twisted that because, you say, oh, this is really Seussical or Seussial, a type of writing. So the way that you kind of intertwined Dr. Seuss, but in that kind of language, I thought was really fun. And the ending, and you're like, I need a line before the show. Like, you just like saying, okay, I got to do this before the show. And the way that you tied it in, I thought was really, and I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't on mute, obviously, so I started. You heard my genuine laughing over there. I couldn't hold it because I thought it was really funny how you tied the show in. You're like, oh my gosh, I got to get this poem up before the show. And I thought that was.
I had written it days ago. I'd written this days ago, and I just was reminding myself to get a line before the show. I didn't read it all before I rushed in. Sorry.
Brilliant. No. Oh, that isn't really part of the poem. That was a placeholder. And you should leave it.
Yeah. I'm going to.
That's even funnier than it's a placeholder. Okay, well, I loved the placeholder. It was one of my favorite parts. And I agree with you. Thing one and thing two are nightmares. I do not think we should invite them anywhere. And that's kind of like a slant rhyme. Oh, my gosh, you're catchy. Scratch and tour.
We're not real friends.
I love the presentation, Hatter. It's like they're standing on your doorway, so you're having this conversation, and you know the whole situation is playing before you, and you're talking about what happened in a way that's just very whimsical, and for subtle things like up the banister, that was really cool, and the other things that, but again, I totally agree with Sky. That's not a placeholder. That's how the poem should end. I need a line. I need a line.
I know a guy. Yeah, I know a guy. I know a guy that got a line.
I know a guy that has a. Yeah, he sells it out of his trunk in the department store over in the parking lot over there.
Over there.
Tell him Vinny sent you.
Vinny.
They give you a good deal.
Vinnie Barbarino.
What was that show? What's my line?
How you doing? How you doing?
What's my line was a show. Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah.
What's my line? Back to the '50s. What's my line?
The '50s. Isn't it?
From the
50s, yeah.
Arlene Francis, Orson Bean, McCullen, and the other group, Peggy Cass. Those are the judges.
Wow! Yeah.
I don't know why I know that, but I do.
Oh please! The introduction to Father Knows Best was done so well that I have the cast in my brain from the introduction of the show. Eleanor Donahue, Billy Graham, and Lawrence Schaefer.
Okay, who was Kitten's name?
Who?
Kitten.
Eleanor Donahue, Billy Graham, and then Lawrence Schaefer. So I think that was Eleanor. Yeah, I think it was Eleanor Donahue.
He called the youngest daughter Kitten.
Yeah.
Robert Young. So whatever the youngest daughter's name.
Those are their names in real life. Eleanor Donahue, Billy Graham, and Lawrence Schaefer, and Robert Young was father.
Right. I didn't hear you say her name. I didn't hear it the first time.
Yeah.
You guys are hilarious. All right. So, Yeah.
Oh, wait
not
a minute. Wait a minute.
Rack.
But what was the skipper's real name? Not Alan Hale. What was his real name? Skipper. On Gilligan's Island.
It was Alan Hale, wasn't it?
All
no,
right. How
skipper,
do you go Google that? Name. I'm going to wrangle back my show a little bit to read Wayne's poem.
Okay.
I'm reeling you guys in, but you, what was it?
Noah Grumby.
All right.
The skipper's name. Yeah.
That's a good bit of trivia because I one, it was Alan Hale.
Yeah, Alan Hale Jr. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Wayne also wrote The Cat in the Hat. Now for something completely different from what you guys were talking about. He also wrote. Yeah, I think I have that. Do I have that? I don't know. And if I don't, I need it. But this is the wrong show for that. But I mean, I guess I can.
So which is better, Go Fish or Go Dog Go?
I don't know.
Like
I was always partial to
one fish, two fish, three fish, four fish.
Yeah, I mean that definitely has the rest of it, but the story that you were painting, the Go Dog Go, just felt more, I don't know, your own.
Yeah, no, I had to have that in there. Red dog, blue dog, go dog, go. I could think of another line.
Oh, the places you'll go. I was always partial to that one. And to the other one I can't think of, but it's like a huge tongue twister, and I'm drawing a blank right now, but I'll figure it out. But
well,
I was
well, the line
very partial to
the
places you'll go.
On the land. Yeah. The line before is to suggest that he's running from the cops, hiding from us all while on the run.
Yeah. I think it was perfect, Rack. Don't change it. Don't touch it. Leave your place holder. But Wayne's got a poem, and I'm going to read it. So this is Wayne's poem. There the Cat Sat by Wayne Gent. Walking down the road, can't remember where I was at, looked up on the porch, saw a cat in the hat. The cat had a couple of things that looked like his kids. They might have been smart, but he seemed like two stupids. I asked the cat if the things could make a good grade. He said he didn't know, but they were waiting for the parade. I asked why they were not in the parade today. He just shook his head, didn't have two things to say, end poem. And the thing I liked about this one, like there were a couple things, I mean, I liked the whole poem, but the thing that really stood out to me was the way that he changed the thing one and thing two, but didn't create, like, he mentioned them as two kids, but he also kind of took the thing and turned it into a different phrasing. So he didn't have two things to say, and kind of paying homage to thing one and thing two, but putting it in a different perspective, which I really, really enjoyed. And I also liked how we mentioned the parade, because often you see Dr. Seuss, Cat in the Hat, thing one, thing two, you see these types of things in parades, and honestly, this picture looks like something that might be in a parade. And it's kind of like, hey, why aren't you in the parade today? And so I really liked how he brought that concept in there, and it kind of made it fun and engaging. Really well done. Thank you, Wayne. Rack and Tour, what do you think?
Yeah, it was very playful, and he did introduce thing two and thing one without calling them that, but they still were thing two and thing one, obviously. You know, two kids, so, you know, and I can't tell you how many parents that I know that you know refer to their children in that manner. To the point that there's marketing and onesies with the numbers one and two on them. So, you know, he really touched a lot of people with those characters. And it's very relatable, the destruction, which he didn't bring into this. But, you know, the idea that Hatter's piece and what thing one and thing two are actually capable of that make them so, I won't say endearing, but relatable.
Excellent comment, Rackentor. And Hatter?
You know, that picture of thing one, thing two, I think there's people in those suits. Am I wrong?
No. So you might have not been here. So, no, those were like scarecrows. There's a town-wide event. They do all types of scarecrow displays.
That's what they want you to think.
You could have written a very different poem, Hatter. You could have wrote a very dark poem. And I feel like you could still, if you really want to. I still have contests open with scarecrows. I will send you a link, and you could go to the dark places that your mind is going right now.
The kids destroyed the house, so mom and dad put them in front.
Oh my gosh.
As a warning to other children, take off your shoes before you come in the house.
Oh, yeah.
No!
Awesome. All right, Hatter, was that your comment? I don't want to cut you off or anything.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So this show moves a little quickly, so you got to keep your eye on the ball here. I actually, Deborah Lee put down many. She told me to choose. So I think she's still calling. I'm guessing she's still calling. But until she calls, I'm going to read this one, and I'm going to give her another one to read when she calls. So still call Deb. I'm going to write that on the board because I want her to read me something. Still call. Oh, no, she's not on the line. She's not. I'm going to read for her. I hope she doesn't mind. I don't think she will. But she couldn't decide, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drop this one until she calls, and then when she calls, she could read me one live. But this is the picture when they're rotating. It's the one with the felled tree. There's like lots of green in the background, and then you just see this big tree, and you just see the tree roots. And I don't know. I just like taking pictures of dead trees. I have no idea, but I love this one. And it has all the pine needles on the tree and then the colorful leaves on top of that. I just loved it. So this is called...
You're a postmortem arborist.
Yeah, maybe. I just love trees in any form. Okay, this is called At the Wedding in the Emerald Dell by Deborah Lee. Walking to see the nymph wedding in the forest, I spy the tree that looks like a dragon to me. Moss green patches cover the hill's shaded crest, beneath the branch canopy from the willow tree. I spy the tree that looks like a dragon to me. She guards the path out of the toadstool chapel, beneath the branch canopy from the willow tree. Circled in pink stargazer lilies in the emerald dell, she guards the path out of the toadstool chapel. As today the rose nymph marries her bride Daisy, circle in pink stargazers, lilies in the emerald dell. Big smiles on both gals is the first things I see. As today the rose nymph marries her bride Daisy, moss green patches cover the hill's shaded crest. Big smiles on both gals is the first thing I see. Walking to see the nymph wedding in the forest. End poem. And I loved this one. Congratulations on your gold. She dropped a lot of, she got a lot of golds in a couple of my contests. And well-deserved golds. I wouldn't say got, so received, awarded, worked for, any of those things. But I love this one. One, because she's bringing in nymphs. A nymph wedding in the forest, which I absolutely love. She even brought in dragons. My eyes spy a tree that looks like a dragon to me. So I love how she's seen a dragon in the tree. I love how there's this forest wedding, and that she kind of says, I spy, which she does throughout her poetry. You kind of see it here and there sprinkled, and it's something I think is very unique to her. She does a lot. I really appreciate it. And then the way that she named the place, you know, circled in pink stargazers, lily in the emerald dell, which I absolutely loved. It was so fanciful. It was so creative. I love how she gave it a name. I love how two brides get married, of course. That was Daisy and, Rose. The Rose Nymph and Daisy are getting married in this beautiful little forest place. I just loved it. I loved it. And it was a form. It was a pantoum. And the rhythm of it was just so beautifully done and elegant. And, yeah, so a forest fae officiated the ceremony, and then the wildlife symphonies kicked off the reception. I would love this kind of wedding. Wonderfully done. Just in the woods. So, raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah. To me, it reads like an adventure, a campaign, you know, going to the nymph's wedding, and this is what I see. And that game you play in the car ride, I spy with my little eye. So it's very much an adventure, like, you know, you head into this event, and this is what happened along the way. Beautifully done.
Thank you, raconteur. And Hatter?
Yeah, I liked where she mentioned the Toadstool Chapel. I think that's that in the psilocybin mountains. Dark Glades of Lilies. Deborah gets so good at describing, allow you to see what she wants you to see. So be careful around her. She's addictive.
I don't know. If psilocybin is around her, I'm going to hang out.
Yeah. Lose the toadstools, come to the shrooms, man.
All right. It's hard to pick because I don't know which one I want her to read live because I still think she's calling. So I'm going to drop this one. She's going to be like, Sky, I didn't mean to play all of them. But she dropped them. So I'm doing it. All right. So this is Sucking Up. So hold on. This was the Anchorage by the Sea picture. and it was taken in Algonquin, Maine. And I was on a walk, and I was like, oh, my gosh, there's so many beautiful things. This is outside of a hotel, and it was just, they were really festive and decorating. So Deb wrote, it's another goal, so congratulations on it. Sucking Up Does Not Always Work by Deborah Lee. Headed out shopping this afternoon, down at the Gourd kiosk in town, scouting pumpkins for jack-o'-lanterns and buying cinnamon sticks to ground, then picking apples for pie and cider at this year's big 4-H fairground. The pumpkin bowed his thick green stem to the farmer and his little wife, but she picked him up and trucked him home to carve him with the butcher knife. Now his seeds are salted and baking as two possum eat his guts in the circle of life. And so it got really dark, that at the end. So, Deb, this got so dark. You had me at the scouting pumpkins for jack-o'-lanterns and buying cinnamon sticks to ground, picking apples for pie and cider. I could smell all those beautiful autumn senses, and oh my gosh, I just love when you go into the store and they have all those pine cones and stuff, and they're like scented, and you buy them and you're like, I'm never going to do anything with them but smell them in my house, but you just pay for them anyway because it smells so good. All right, so that's, you had me at like in that state of mind in this first stanza, and then you're like, oh, the farmer and his little wife are picked him up and trucked him home, and then they're butchering him and cutting his seeds and salting and baking his inside, which is what we do. circle of life. So it did get really dark really quick, which, you know, it is what it is. It's like a horror story for pumpkins. Really well done. I really enjoyed this one. It did win gold. This was written last year, so it must have been for last year's, which would have made sense because I think I went camping in Algonquin last year sometime in the summer. But really, really well done. Raconteur, what do you think?
Well, I mean, it makes sense that she's taking it home to butcher him because, like you said, it got dark, so she's got to put a candle in the jack-o'-lantern.
Ooh.
He's so quick and witty.
guys, flip it.
Thank you, you munch on the seeds while you admire the shadows.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome.
And I went over to my friend's house the other day, and they had pumpkins. I've never seen pumpkins that big before. I'm like, what are you guys doing? I can't wait to go over and see what they did with them. Hatter, what do you think?
I like it. It brings up the question, when does a pumpkin become a jack-o'-lantern? At what point? And are they still gourds?
When it meets the butcher knife.
As soon as it enters, or after it's done, and what is it called in the transition? Just a gourd?
Pumpkin pie?
Pumpkin pie. It ought to be. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I'm a pumpkin carving champion. Twice.
What's the ones you've won?
What did I win? Nothing. I didn't win nothing. It was just the honor.
No. What did you carve? What did you carve out?
Oh, it was a like a clown face, a big smile instead of teeth. The opponent, what they blew, they put on one of those stencils, and it was really good. Yeah. But it wasn't their work. They apparently did a lot of work. Using
pumpkin
a stencil. The judge and the judge is marching down for it. That was the last time anyway. Yeah,
awesome.
It's just mine's a happy.
Congratulations. And I think we have little Gary on the line.
Yes, ma'am. You are very
little Gary.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are y'all? Hey, when I was living in Alaska at the Safeway, I seen like a 1,200-pound pumpkin they had sitting in there. It looked like a pumpkin that was like a huge 500-pound Lalasco and fat hair everywhere, man. It was crazy.
It looks like a monster pumpkin if you drop it from a 10-story building in a fast frame camera, and the moment it hits the ground, so it expands out.
Yeah, it was all smushing and running everywhere, man. It was really ugly. Okay. I didn't tell it that.
See there. Yeah, I never. Wonder how thick it is.
Awesome.
The best scarecrow I ever saw was a pair of jeans with two pumpkins in the top.
Melons?
No. it looked like someone bending over.
Oh, got to.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh.
So, little Gary, I don't know if you looked at a topic, but this is the Shutter Button Poetry Show. So any poem that was written to, or you could write a new one, or one that fits to one of the photos in my mini Shutter Button Poetry Contest. And then I have an October, exclusively Oktoberfest for this show. So just let me know
Yes, ma'am. You said for the Oktoberfest. I had sent one in, the Haunted House one, but I'll definitely go look at those now and check it out for sure.
Well, I
did y'all? Okay, I'm so sorry then. Just don't even look at that.
Yeah.
Act like I didn't say anything.
Cool.
I mean, if you want to drop another, if you go to the link, right, I'm okay with pre-writes as long as it goes to one of the photos. Just go to my topic board link and click, and then you could peruse, and then if you have another poem to go with one of the photos, just say which photo it is, and I'll put it up, and we're all set, and we'll go from there if you want to do another one. I mean, or if you really want to read your poem again, even though it got read last night, we could still do that one, because I do know what haunted house one you probably are speaking of, because I know the photo.
I see the owl one. Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, there's a whole link. There's a lot of contests. There's probably about... over 100 Shutter Button Oktoberfest, but do you want to have a new poem or do you want to read the same poem that you read last night?
I didn't get a chance to read it last night. I guess they called in at the end, but I know it was, I always want to hear myself read by somebody else. And but anyway, I'm going to look at your pictures, but I would love to read the haunted one. It's such a good flowy one, but I will definitely look at the pictures, and I hope I got one that will match, because
Yeah, I do. I have one. So I'm just going to put it up. And you don't even have to put it on your poem right now. Like, that's absolutely fine. It's just I like to put them on, if you're writing to one of the photos, I like to put them on so that when people are looking at the blog talk page, they get to see which one it is. So I'm going to put it on. Just give me a minute because I'm using my left hand. So I'm a little bit slower here. So I'm going to put the picture of the...
I think you got a message. Shoot. It's going to have something.
Okay. All right. See.
Can't remember. Never mind. My bad.
It's PG-13, right? Your poem?
Are you talking to me, ma'am?
Yes.
Me? Oh, definitely, yes, ma'am. I understand how you like to run it, and I totally respect that. You talking about the haunted house?
Yeah. Okay, so...
It's not a cuss word or nothing, maybe referencing, but...
No, I mean, I only see one word in there. yeah, I'm not sure. Hatter? Did you read this one last night?
It's just some suggesting things. That's all I wanted you to be aware of. No big deal. No worries.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, looks like Deb read it, so I think she's fine with it, yeah? All right. We're going to go with it because I read it last night. Right, Hatter?
Say that again?
You read it on the air last night, right?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't sound too
right.
sure.
Yeah.
Well, no. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to tell that I was doing something too. But I didn't mean it to sound that way. It was read on the air.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to say that if it was read last night, then it could be read today in his own voice. All right. So I put that picture of the haunted house up for you, and you can go ahead and read, Gary.
Cool. All right. Cool. I hope it's a little bit different than last night. Okay, this is called My House is Haunted. I mean, My Haunted House by Little Gary. Hey, my house is haunted by past fights, lost loves, and every night they really get on it. If my walls could talk, they'd tell you that me and a girl has totally done it, making every square foot in this house have a ghost that does nothing but haunt it. In the kitchen, there's a small hole in the wall. It's because me and a girl were having one heck of a ball. The missing cabinet fell off when I was adding a girl's dishes because I'm so sexy and tall. And the table's gone because a girlfriend left me and decided she'd just take it off. Now come take a walk into the living room. The empty brown carpet, I bet it reminds you of the planet Doom. Or maybe it's an island where you and Tom Hanks got in the room. And the sign next to the door that says no smoking was put up there hoping a girlfriend's mom was going to get well real soon. Next to the bathroom, there's a well water stained shower, a place where me and a girl had made love for hours and hours, next to an empty window where a girl always said her gifted baked flowers. Over an empty cabinet where towels used to be sat by me and a girl's son in leaning white towers. Now, down the hall where all the pictures used to be hanging, you'll see that all the doors are marked up from all of the slamming and banging. If you're able to see it, that is, because the light took a few one night, and at best it's waning. Over a mud track floor that has so many tracks, so many old tracks from girls moving out that you think that it's raining. On the left is the room where I keep my bed. It's been rocked so many times in the past that you could call my butt Fred. And every corner of it has had its fair share of kissing, licking, I love yous, and a whole lot of her. Now my room is a place where passionate nights are all gone and over and dead. If love was a game, then I never won it. Even if every short straw in the world, I've already drawn it. And although I'll never be a famous poet or write a fancy ass sonnet, I can sure in the hell show you a real ghost on Halloween, because my house is definitely haunted. I totally messed it up so many times, but I hope y'all enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. I think that this gives the, you know, when people say, we were actually just talking about this, Rack and I, about Emily Dickinson's I Need Not Be a House to Be Haunted. One Not Need Be a House to Be Haunted. Sorry, I had a cough. And the idea of, and yes, it was very suggestive, but I would say even it wasn't in the lines of sultry even, because it's speaking of there once was so much love. You know, there was these relationships that hang over a person, and especially when you're surrounded by them, either in the town you live in or the house that you live in, and you speak of the table being gone, so you're speaking of someone moving out, and then after they leave, the house is just filled with all these memories of them and these beautiful times of people connecting through relationships and how you can feel like you're haunted after they're gone by just going into a room where they once were. And I thought that the emotion was kind of pulled through that, kind of saying, my house is haunted. There are these ghosts of past people and past relationships and past emotions that I felt that have fled and that are now gone. These passionate nights are left cold and stale. And I think that it's a whole different perspective on haunting, one that's more personal and more, I wouldn't say more personal, but in a more metaphorical stance of haunting, because I think we all can be haunted by our memories, by people, and by things that we remember from the past. Even things that we deem regrets can be haunting. So there's so many different venues that the word haunting can be taken, and yours has done really well. Rack and Tour, what do you think?
I like short titles, but I want to say for this one, if my body were a temple, my house is haunted. I very much get the relationship metaphor throughout this, and the idea of if these walls could talk and the whole, you know, things like that throughout. It's relatable. That there's hints of you know, sadness to it as well, because, you know, you're saying it in a glib manner, but at the same time, it's like, well you know, if it's an honest telling of tale, you know, you lived through it, you experienced it. It's like, well then, you know, that's horrible, that's sad, you know. So it's a ghost story as well, which kind of fits the theme too. Because, you know, when you talk about social media and the people that have been in your life, but, you know, they don't talk to you anymore, you know, they say that they ghost you. So, you know, there's another haunting. So, yeah, you did a good job bringing out the social commentary of dating and haunting, being haunted.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you wouldn't believe it, man. My girlfriend of 6 years left, and I've had my home. It's a four-bedroom house in the country, and I've owned it for like 20-something years now. I raised my kids here. My ex-wife left me here with them, and then I've had several long relationships since then. And sitting around here, I was like crying, right, the other day, and I'm looking at all the beats and bangs around my house and all the rooms trying to clean up after what she left, the mess she left, and I thought, this house is haunted, you know, because everybody's gone but me, and now I'm here, and I see all these different, well, a girl wrote in my bathroom, I love you, and it's so many things that haunt this house, and it's just very sad. It's very true. That's how I come up with it, was thinking, God, I've got to get this into a rhyme, because it's so true, and it's actually true, like sitting here in the living room looking around. You know, I wrote another one called After Goodbyes, and it was sitting here at this house when everybody was gone, and me left here after everybody said goodbye. And so, it, unfortunately, I hate to say it was sad because it is sad, but it is 100% true, everything in it. Thank you for listening.
Excellent comment, Rack and Tour. And Hatter? Hatter?
Unmuted.
Unmuted. Yeah, I got that each place, each room has a history, a personal history, you know, with it. But it's like the minute you wrote this, it's like saying bye for now, because the editing starts and it starts fading away. So only the good things stay, basically, and you're able to carry on, because they're not so, I'm saying this so poorly.
No, sir, you're not at all.
Yeah, well, like when you posted this, you're now carried on. You're carrying on.
I got it off my chest. I quit crying. Like, it came to me while I was crying, and I just scribbled it down on paper. It was meant to be, I guess.
The emotions are
well, thank you for...
But never post it while your emotions are flowing. Just reread it tomorrow, the next day.
Yeah. Oh, man, I read my stuff so much, I'm a nerd on it. I don't know why. I just enjoy it. I got published today. I signed a contract with some people in Colorado. I can't wait. My book's going to be on Amazon. So I'm so excited.
Well, congratulations, Carrie. Yeah.
Yeah, and if it does good, my girlfriend left me 2 weeks too soon.
Is that what you named the book?
She hurt me pretty good. Pretty good. He has a son I missed, so probably something coming out about that, I imagine.
Thank you, Gary, again. And Hatter, do you want to plug your show for Saturday? Actually, hold on, because what I'm going to do... can you hold on? I'm sorry, because I know I just asked you to do something, and I changed my mind. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually plug for... actually, go ahead and plug, because I'm not quite ready. So go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, Saturday is A.P. Taylor, myself, and Deborah Lee. The prompt is, "Hello, darkness, my old friend." Whatever that means to you.
Is that the last one, or is that the upcoming one?
They had to cancel it. So it's the one coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. Anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, the Simon & Garfunkel song, redone by Disturbed and a couple other bands. I think one of the greatest poems ever written.
I'm still here. Hey, before y'all stop, I want to tell y'all some new guy to All Poetry wrote me a big old letter thing, and he liked what I'm doing and all that. And he asked me, he'd never been on there, and he had so many, and how can he meet people and stuff. And I told him about y'all, and I told him he needed to join groups. And he gets a chance to meet people and call in on shows and read his stuff. He said he had over 600. He writes them every day. And so I can't think of his name right now. He said he's in Florida, but I'm pretty excited, you know, that somebody new is coming in. That's pretty awesome, I told him.
Awesome.
I'll be looking for the sequel to your book about how your ex sues you for the royalties.
Oh, man. Yeah. She is trying to destroy me, man. How dare me support her for 2 or 3 years, you know? Oh, my God. She's a narcissist, man. But I fell in love. I fell in love.
Make a supervillain out of her. Piss her off.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so guys, I know it's so exciting to talk about relationships, but I just want to plug shows. So, Hatter, your show is on at... 9 p.m. No, it wasn't your fault, Hatter. It's okay. 9 p.m. Saturday night. Saturday with A.P. Taylor and Deborah Lee. Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend. At 9 p.m., correct?
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. So 6 o'clock, my side.
Okay, awesome. And then we're going to back up just a couple days because I did get the things in order. Again, Wednesday is my D&D show, so if you reserved a prompt for my D&D character sheets, tomorrow is the due date, Hatter. So, tomorrow is the due date. So if you wrote to the Crow Mauler or the Blood, whatever, all those cool things, tomorrow is the day you get to share those poems.
Okay.
So...
I think I wrote to that. Yeah.
Love you reserved one. I don't know if you finished yet, but you definitely have one reserved.
Okay.
I think the only ones who have dropped their reserved is Stephen, Jenny the Deep and Stephen. So they're the only ones that have dropped so far for what they reserved. So I'm still waiting for those. Those are due tomorrow. Okay, and Thursday is Sweet Pea's show, and she is on at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. Grab your muse and fudgel through with Sweet, and she's doing, this show was also a makeup show, so it's discuss words that aren't really used anymore, like overmorrow. Groke, she's got a bunch of them. They're pretty cool. And check them out, and you could write about them. And that's it. That's at 10 p.m. And then...
The Man Cave.
Deb is on... Yeah. Deb is on next Monday, All Hallows Eve. And she has some art choices that you could reserve. Each person gets their own prompt. These are pretty scary prompts. Oh, my gosh. I don't know about that one. I'm getting a little freaked out here just looking at them. I really like the chess one. I might reserve number 11. Nope. Nobody steal number 11. I might say, oh, look at this ghost one. Oh, I don't know. They're all really good. Go reserve one and write to it. I'll figure out which one I'm doing in a little bit. But she goes live at 10, and it's Personal Prompt Monday. So, and there's that. All right. I don't know if she's going to call. But like I said, I'm going to drop the next one. We're going to move right along here. So thanks, Deb. She couldn't decide which one to drop, so she had me pick. And I'm picking as many as we can get through tonight. So that's what I'm going to do. This one is called...
Okay.
This one was... Oh, this is one of my favorite places to be in autumn time. It's one of my favorite walks. I go there often. And I don't know why, but I just love ducks. And this isn't my duck friend from the other day, Rack. This is my duck friends from last year. And it's just two little ducks, two little mallards waiting in a pond. So she wrote, Duck Wives Give the Silent Treatment To by Deborah Lee. The foul crowd lines the swamp grass shores, waiting for the neon sun to set as they do. Tonight is the Quack Pack Jamboree at Willow Pond, and date night for Link and Lily Mallard, too. But she's by him eyeing up the white-crested duck. So now her mate finds himself in deep poo. Then he winked at the passing kayak Campbell twins, honks his hisses and echoed, then plucked feathers few. Now it's the cold feather and into Spot's doghouse with the turkey brothers and the male swan crew as the females bust them all for their looky-loo. End poem. And I'm sorry for messing it up a couple times. This was so fun. It was so fun and clever. And I could hear Rack laughing because right off the beginning, the foul crowd. And yes, Rack and Tor, it is spelled F-O-W-L. It could be taken both ways. And then this whole Quack Pack Jamboree at Willow Pond. I love that you named the pond. I love, like, when people create names for things in the pictures and kind of just say where it is, even though they're just making it up. And the way this whole thing where, Link and Lily Mallard are kind of, you know, he's eyeing up a crested duck and she's getting all angry and... I don't know. It's just there's this whole world going on in Deb's mind in this one picture. It was so creative. And then there was another part that was really, oh, this one. Now it's the cold feather instead of the cold shoulder. I don't know. I just thought that was really, really funny and really clever and creative. Oh. So I just loved it. And then when she ended, bust them for all the looky-loo. I just thought, oh, my gosh. I just thought that one was so fun. And, congratulations on the gold. And Rack and Tour, what do you think?
I she's writing about a duck, but I think she wrote about a dog. Wow. The commentary of, the looky-loo and everything, it's – unfortunate, but it tends to happen. Some people become complacent, or things just wind up unfortunate. And sometimes it's innocent enough, but at the same time it's still insulting. It still hurts. So you get that elbow, and you got to take it, and you got to buy the flowers the next day. But you're only a mallard. You're only ducky. I don't know. It's cute.
Awesome. And Heather.
Yes. That. I'm playing catch up here. My phone froze for a second. Finds himself in.
Okay, do you need a minute?
Mate finds himself in deep poo. Okay. Watson, this is.
Do you want me to give you a minute, Hatter?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. All right. Gary, what do you think?
I loved it. As somebody that has never done that in their life, I loved it. It's like, it reminded me of, something that somebody that had a bad stutter would have to read over and over and over, and I don't know why it did. It reminded me of it, that little kid that stuttered and whatever he was reading in it. But it was awesome, man. It was happy and funny, and you read it so well. I would have been scared to the bit, you know what I mean, to read that, because it was so many awesome, funny, cool words in one sentence. Like, I've never seen so many, I would say, bubbly words in one sentence. And you felt the story, you know, how she wrote it, and you're like, dang, man, I hate it for them ducks, man. And she had stage on, you know. I had a birthday party where this girl was in a little bikini right beside us, real pretty girl, all set, and like, God, I wish she would go on so we could enjoy her party, and that's what it reminded me of. I thought it was awesome.
Awesome, thank you. And Hatter, did you get a chance to catch up, or would you like me to move on?
Yeah. Could this be that I'm terrible at rap? Could this be I caught some of that cadence that the rap has towards the end. Did anybody else? Because I know.
Well, I guess it could be. I didn't take it that way, but if that's how you took it, that's how you took it.
Okay. The medication is setting in. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's okay. All right. So we've got about 12 minutes. So I'm thinking Deb's not calling in. So I'm going to read. I wanted her to read this one to me live, but I think I might save this one.
She's ducking you. She's ducking you.
No, she's probably busy. Probably
drive it up,
gosh,
right now.
So hard. She was like, she gave me a couple that are so good. Okay, so I have the next one on the board. I am going to read this one, and then we'll see what time I have. All right. At least, so this is for the one. These are cute little mushrooms. There's a big mushroom, and there's a little baby mushroom right underneath, and I just thought it was so cute. So it's when you're, and they're purple, and when you're looking at the photos, it's that one. And then she wrote, at least, and it's two. She said the title, let me see, the title is a play on words from the song The Old Lady That Swallowed a Fly. So she put that up there. So at least nobody swallows a spider to catch the fly, by Deborah Lee. As the mommy and me fungi duo peeks from neath the dried out leaf potpourri, the mouse on the soccer field squeaks and the barn owl dives off the cedar tree. From neath the dried out leaf potpourri, twin hairy caterpillars squirm passing by, and the barn owl dives off the cedar tree. Then talons nab the mouse, and wings fly. Twin hairy caterpillars squirm passing by. Now assassin bugs eat the critters for lunch. Then talons nab the mouse, and wings fly, nailing the rodent with the razor-sharp punch. Now assassin bugs eat the critters for lunch. The mouse on the soccer field squeaks, nailing the rodent with the razor-sharp punch as the mommy and me fungi duo peeks and home. And I thought using that form was brilliant. It was so lyrical, and it was fun how you took that known song, but you only really kind of played with it at the beginning with the title, and then you had your entire new creation, which was rhythmical in itself, especially with the repeating lines and the chosen refrains, and this whole thing that's happening in this little tiny picture, in this little tiny woods, you know. You've got the little the mouse on the soccer field squeaks. I love the little mouse. And then it does look like dried potpourri because the leaves are just like, they look really crinkly. So I loved how you brought it in there. I loved how you have Mommy and Me fungi duo peaks because it does look like a little Mommy and Me. I think that's what I thought about a little. I'm like, oh, look at it, it's a little mushroom family. That's so cute. So I love how you brought that into it. And then you even brought this cringier stuff with the assassin bugs eat the critters for lunch. So, and then the scarier stuff, nailing the rodents with the razor-sharp teeth. I loved how all the lines came together at the bottom. A poem like this and a form like this, you have to make all of the lines come together at the end and still be able to be seamless from when they first came into the poem, and that's not always easy. Really well done. Thank you, Deb. What do you think, Rack?
Yeah, there's a definite transition that's very pleasing. It makes it kind of an earworm, and the fungi. I anytime anyone mentions a mushroom, my head goes right to that pun because I always love that line. The Mommy and Me fungi. That was really cool. The circle of life is it can be ugly. You got assassin bugs and owls, and then you got mushrooms that are just innocent bystanders. So,
excellent comment. Thank you, Rack and Tor and Hatter. Unmuted.
Yes, unmuted. Okay, where was I? I like this poem a lot, first of all. Usually the people that call themselves environmentalists or nature lovers don't understand how vicious and cruel nature really is. They don't have old folks home for any species of anything. They all get eaten, right? I like the Mommy and Me fungi, duo peaks. Don't eat those mushrooms, though.
No, I don't think that would be a good idea.
A lot of mushrooms are poisonous.
Those are. Those two are.
Definitely. All right. Okay. So I think we're going to be doing all but one. I don't think I'm reading the one with the M word. I'm not talking about the maggots, all right? So I'm going to have her read that one to me. All right, so we've got one more, and then we'll be closing out. So Deb couldn't choose, so she made me choose, and I've chosen them all, except for one, because I would have read that last one too, but I think we're going to just be right on time. So this one is to the photo, the one that says garden, and it has that little mouse. It's actually a little store. This little fun store outside of a corn maze that I go to, a farm. And they have like this little store at the farm with these things that you can buy. So I took a picture of it. So this is called Liver and Onions is Tonight's Special at Granny's Roadside Diner by Deborah Lee. Lily Leatherface dwells down in Texas on the 40-acre farm with Grandpa Sawyer. Stone buildings dot the wooded edges, and a farmhouse sits behind Granny's diner. The cedar door leads to Lily's fort and the pecan trees, stocked with the painted lawn ornaments she makes, like the beady-eyed rat man that guards that red door, posted neath the archway of rusted shears and rakes. Dressed in the blue flannel shirts and denim coveralls, holding the welcome plaque made from Oak Garden steaks. Now her grandmother, a chef, not the Tooth Fairy, but she is a big collector of female incisors and molars, extracted to string like the popcorn for the pine trees after she pickles the eyeballs and serves with the livers. Her grandfather stores chainsaws in the slaughterhouse. For this week's diner special, he'll butcher the chauffeur as the aroma from the yellow onion surfs the breezes, frying to add into the finger sandwiches and cucumber. Tonight, they'll smoke his butt for Tuesday's rump roast. Wednesday and Sunday are the bonfire barbecue nights, with juicy ribs and plump thighs served with hot honey spice. Thursday's tongue lentil soup, and Friday, minced meat stew. But for Saturday night, Grandma's stuffing, then baking you. End poem. And she definitely, she wrote, giving a new meaning to mystery meat. I thought this was really fun. And it was a little play on Texas Chainsaw. She made little nods to it. Of course, it was totally different and inventive and new. But there were those little nods. And this is scary. Like, this is why I don't go out. Like, you're just driving down the road and you stop at a roadside cafe and you're like, oh, hey. And then all of a sudden, either you're eating people or you're becoming the lunch. Either way, this is so creative and just, like, scary and just so creative. Like, and I love the way that she described the mouse on the picture. She brought it down to, like, such fine details that you kind of get transported. So even if you didn't have the picture there, you're really going to be able to envision the outside sign. And how ominous is this beady-eyed rat man that guards the red door? Like, that's really – when I first looked at this photo, I didn't think of that. I thought, oh, look at cute little mouse holding shears. And she brought this to a whole new darker level, which I think was so awesome. And just wonderfully done in this slaughterhouse and the way that it's like, oh, grandma and grandpa are running this shady little cafe. I'm just, oh, my gosh. Really well done. Brackentor, what do you think?
You know, you talk about food, you get me going. The idea of quote-unquote catch of the day, it's very exciting when you go for, you know, adventures in food and, you know, you're willing to try new things and whatnot. You could be really, like you say, pleasantly surprised or scared. And, you know, there's kind of a nod to Hannibal Lecter. I'd like to have you for dinner. You know, it means something totally different in that case, depending on who's saying it the way that they say it. So, you know, there's that thought as well, you know. What'd you kill today? Oh, my neighbor. You know, it's like, well, that's not good. and this instance is, I think, documented it like in England and things where you know, they make stew out of these things, these people that they killed, and then they feed it to the cops to hide the evidence. So it's like, seriously? Or maybe that's an urban legend. I don't know. But you know, anyways, it's possible. And you know, people are crazy. And you know, well, if you could sit there and you know, like you say, what was it? It's the pig, I think, that they call it, like, everything but the oink. You know, every little bit of the pig, you could cook it. So a good chef will, you know, I've got this pig that was just, you know, gifted to me by my hunter friend, and he could have a special, like, you know, the snout and the ears and you know, the jowls and all the different pieces of different delicacies. So you can get really crazy and creative with something like that. But at the same time, it's like, well, it doesn't just apply to pigs. You know, things must hunt humans. And apparently in Deb's world, it's grandma.
Yeah. Yeah, and the part with the eyeballs. Yeah, no diners. No roadside diners. Just say no.
I'm just going to philosophize about, you know, people's palates and what some people prefer to others, and you know, I could see, you know, applying, you know, a technique. So you know, you're going to pickle this or pickle that. You know, you talk about pickled vegetables. Well, you know, okay, you could extend that thought to eyeballs. You know, and livers and they pickle a lot of things. So it's not an unheard of thought to you know, okay, if I'm going to pickle an eyeball, why not a human one?
All right, so no roadside diners and no visiting Rack and Thor. Hatter, I'm just kidding. Hatter, do you get the last comment of the night?
I do. No pressure there. after she pickles the eyeballs, served as with livers. Her grandfather stores chainsaws in his slaughterhouse. Butcher. Did you have to kill the chauffeur? Finger sandwiches, yeah. Smoke a butt. I'm just going to smell
it. I thought
fingers,
because finger sandwiches are finger food. I thought that was really clever. Because sandwiches, you say finger food.
Yeah.
But she's switching around to finger sandwiches.
They do call them finger sandwiches at tea parties. They serve finger sandwiches. That's what they call them. They call them finger sandwiches.
So there's so much stuff in the poem that is like a play on words.
Yeah.
It's really, really funny. And I was saving that one for her to.
You picked up the two fingers. These two fingers. No nerve. Finger sandwich, right?
Well, thank you, Hatter. And I do want to say, we're over time. I can't believe it, but we're over time. So I want to thank Jenny the Deep, Gerald Green, Raconteur, Hatter, Deb, Little Gary, and Heavenly Angel and Easy Rider for all participating, submitting the poems. Oh, and Wayne. I just remembered Wayne. Maybe said I subconsciously heard you. Wayne, for all submitting and for showing up for tonight and having fun with me on this new adventure of Shutter Button Poetry. There is another Shutter Button Poetry coming up next month, and it is any Shutter Button, not just October, obviously, because we're going to be out of it. So it is going to be November 21st, so you have plenty of time to look through some of my contests. I'm always running them. You have plenty of time to write new stuff. And if you don't want to enter the contest, you can just write for the picture and come by and drop it off. So thank you guys so much. And,
guys. I gave you homework the other night. You're going to look up something I gave to you. I can't remember what it was. Do you?
What? No, I can't remember either. You're going to have to write it. You're going to have to write it down. Think about it, write it down, and then send it to me.
Download the show and go to the replay.
You said you were going to look it up. You were going to watch it or look it up. I can't remember what it was. Okay. I'll find it.
Okay. Well, think about it. I'll try to listen back to the playback and see what it was.
Thank you, Scott.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. All right. Here we go.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.